We're beginning Perek Zayin, Eretz HaTorah. Yesh non kama sivos, hama'akves es ha'odam edivrei Torah. In this chapter of Cook talks about tzar bittul Torah. The tzar that one experiences, should experience, and the tzar in the world over bittul Torah. Yesh non kama sivos, hama'akves es ha'odam edivrei Torah. There are a number of causes that are keeping a person that are keeping a person from Divrei Torah, that are holding a person back. There could be many reasons why a person is not learning. Shliyikonsu bilavavo, and even if he is trying to learn, but somehow the words are not penetrating his heart. They're not entering his heart. The Talmud Tzrich Madas Mahi Hasiba Hama'akeves Ba'isa Hashah Shahi'ikav Humurgash. And we always need to know, to find out, to try to understand. One needs himself to understand, and if it's possible, a Rebbe, a parent. You can't just give one patent answer, explanation, or that you saw, like or you heard a certain speech on the Inyan of Bittul Torah, and that's how you understand that individual's difficulty with learning and inability to either to learn or to connect to the learning. You can't take a shiur that you heard or a sefer that you saw and assume that that's the reason why the boys in the class are not learning, or this individual doesn't want to learn, or the words of Torah are not penetrating the heart of this person, because there's no one patent answer for that, why that is. There could be many ma'akvim, there could be many causes. At that time. So you'll have this very often. You'll have somebody will get up, a Rebbe will read some interesting shmuz that he saw, you know, that was given, that he saw in from a sefer from 1846. And he's talking to boys, you know, in 2011, and he's giving them a fire and brimstone talk about Bittul Torah. But that's not why they're not learning. Whatever the tzaddik was talking about in 1846 is not what's ma'akev these guys right now in 2011. It's two different sugyas. What is it that's holding this person back, ba'isa hashah, at this moment in his life? Ma'yasibah ma'akev is ba'isa hashah sha'ikav humurgash. When we can sense and feel what that ikuv is, what is that obstacle? Kedeshi yeda beza oifen lahasiris hasibah. Because then, of course, you can begin to think of ways to remove within yourself or within your students or children to remove that obstacle. You have to understand what it is. That wonderful Rebbe that's saying over a shmuz from 1846 to this boy who has a different inyan that's holding it back in 2011 from learning. So he hasn't identified the ikuv. He doesn't know the cause of the ikuv. And therefore, he doesn't. What he's saying is very sweet, it's very nice, hopefully, but it's not helping to remove the ikuv. It doesn't do anything to take away that obstacle. So imagine sitting with a person who's in a bad mood, and you know, you're sitting with this person, so you say, I know, you're in a bad mood because you know the Mets lost again. You're in a bad mood, the Mets are a horrible team. You're in a bad mood, you're probably a Mets fan, that's why. And you go on to say a drasha for an hour and a half about, don't worry, I'm good, there's still hope. You know, it could be that Ron Swoboda will come back or something like that. So, don't worry, there's still hope. And the guy's thinking there, he's thinking, thank you. And he says, thank you so much. He says, you have to, you're not going to be messiahish, they're a good team, they just need a little help, it'll be... And it has nothing to do with it. The guy had an argument with his wife, and she said some strong things to him, and he's feeling very tzibrochen about his whole life, where he doesn't have a parnasa. Isn't it silly? So what's ma'akev this person from being himself? What's ma'akev this person from being happy? Has nothing to do with what, with your drasha. You're a nice person because you want even mechazek him, but you're talking about something maybe you have an inyan with. But that's not his inyan. So if you want, if you see there's a problem who's not learn, with a person who's not learning, or he's learning and it's not connecting to him. So the first thing, of course, is that you have to try to understand what is the siba, what is the cause of this ikuv, what is that's holding back this guy? What's holding this person back? Once you understand that, then you can address the problem. Otherwise, you're just addressing somebody else's problem or some problem that you might have, but you're not helping this person. In order to open this person's heart so that he'll be able to connect deeply to the Torah that he's being taught. The Torah is beautiful. How come this person is not learning? Every word of Torah is life. But there are people who don't want to live. And you have to try to understand what's the matter with this guy. What's wrong? So we see that the Gemara tells how Rabbi used to begin. I used to begin to say, Milsa did Bichusa, right? He would begin with something, with a joke, a pischein, to try to open the heart a little bit with something that's humorous. But that's not enough. If there's an ikuv in a person, there's something wrong, there's something that's ma'akev, so you need to try to find out what that is, so that his heart will be opened. The heart right now is closed. Hu yiftach li beinu b'sarasai. In order for the Torah to penetrate and to make a roshim in a person's life, it has to be a heart that's open to receiving it. If the heart is closed shut, it's not ready to receive. We were talking about that a little bit, the meaning of the open and closed person. We were talking about that this morning when we were learning the Mamar, the Rosh of the Shabbos. Open and closed. Kedei she'yipasach libo le'yikasha yofer divrei Torah. Shav Kook says, if you don't know the true reason, what's wrong with this person, in other words, why is the heart closed? How come he's not open to Divrei Torah? Torah is so beautiful, and he's screaming at him, Torah is so beautiful, what's wrong with you? Just picture the Rebbe standing over the class, telling him, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? You don't hear what I'm telling you, we're learning this Tysus, this is the most beautiful Tysus in the world. And the kid doesn't know what to do with himself. He's going out of his mind. So if kim lo yeda sasiba nachane yesh sheyitra charbe lahasir siba cheres, you could work very, very hard to take away something else that's not the cause of the bittul tayra. That's not why that person is not learning, or the learning is not helping him. So you're working very, very hard, like the guy that's talking about the master, somebody who has a problem with his wife. It's two different things. Ma'inyan Shemitah, it's Al-Hasinai. They're two different parashiyas. So what are you talking about? And you're trying to take away this cause. Yesh Yidra Chabi L'Hasa Siba Acheres. Like I've spoken about, I speak about almost every week because this is so much Nogeitas. So that you have these people, all they talk about is how do we, that the equal, the only thing that's ma'akev limud ha-Torah is what? The big I. What's that? Internet. The internet. If there wouldn't be internet, every Jew would be learning Torah. I don't know, there's some of us here remember when there wasn't internet. Thanks? I didn't see that it was like everybody was, you know, it wasn't like the whole place was on fire with limud ha-Torah. But now they have the thing to say, this Siba, with a capital Samach, that's ma'akev all Torah, all Yiddishkeit, is the internet. The internet, of course, man, it's a big, big, big dangerous machla. Of course, that's not the point. But that's the Siba ha-ma'akevis. So it's the easiest thing for the Rebbe or the principal to say that that's the Siba ha-ma'akevis. And then what does he do? He spends every free minute trying to figure out ways how to stop them from watching, to prevent the internet, to unplug the internet, to block, to filter, to this, to that, with the internet. And if he does all of that, and he's now gone back to an internet-free world, and there's no such thing as internet anymore, so he says, Yankel, let's go. Shnayim Erchsim Metals. My kid says, leave me alone. Yeah, but there's no more internet. We got rid of internet. So like I said, that Shabbos verse, so he says, yeah, but there's still girls. So then he spends the next 20 years getting rid of all the girls in the world. Right? Like I said, that Shabbos. Now there are no more girls. We say, Yankel, you're ready. Yankel, you're 42 years old. No more girls. No more women. Schleimerichs and Batals. Just do me a favor. Stop hacking me with Schleimerichs and Batals. Got rid of the internet. That was a terrible distraction. We got rid of the girls. There's no more girls. No, we got rid of them. So now you're free to learn, Yankel. Free. You're free from all the big ma'akvim. These were the ma'akvim, no? The live girls and the girls on the internet. So now it's all gone. We got rid of it. I don't want to learn. So that's what we'll, you know, if you don't know what the Siva HaMa'akevis is, of course there are a lot of things that contribute. A lot of things. Each person, there are a lot of things. And those are certainly problems that every yeshiva bacher and everybody has to contend with, and the women, the girls, with their own inyanim. Everybody's contending with stuff. But each person has a Siva HaMa'akevis. And unless you enter into the heart of a person, you might be touching upon, you're most likely touching upon a problem. There's a problem with the internet. It's certainly a huge problem. But if a person is really connected and really happy and really thriving and really excited about being a Jew, he'll be able to learn despite the internet. He'll even be able to get some Torah from the internet. But if a person has a Siva HaMa'akevis, so it makes no difference if you plop him down in the old city, you put him next to the Kaisel, and you give him the best Rebbe in the world, and you give him the most Geshmak Gemara, and there are no internets, and the women are all on the other side of the Mechitza, and there's nothing there. Everything is mamish, like the day that he was born, pure, clean. But if there's something inside that's a Siva HaMa'akevis, so then it's Gunsh and Felfa. It's not going to help. You made it better. You try to make the conditions, you know, so the guys say we can't learn. There's no, the air conditioning is not good. We can't learn. Today there's no learning that doesn't matter. It has to be 70 degrees. Today it's 72 degrees. We're striking. So then the Rebbe says, yeah, but you know, but they were in Shanghai, they were learning. It was 104 and humid. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was giving a shiur. So it could be maybe 71. But if it's 72, we can't learn. So he says, that's the ma'akiv. Who knows? Each person has the ma'akvim, what a person has. Especially in our generation, which doesn't take much of an ikuv to keep a person away from the truth. Any little curveball, any tiny little thing that gets in his way, is very fafal. But you have to try to understand, what's the ma'akiv? Ki im lo yedes ha-siba ha-nechayim, yeshe yidrach ha-bila ha-siba ha-cheres. If you don't know the true reason is not the air conditioning. If a person was connected to learning, so then he'd be able to continue learning even though it's 72 degrees. That's not the true cause. So you could be putting in all your efforts to remove other things, which could be helpful, but it's not the Siva HaMa'akevis. We have to ask ourselves, what's the Siva HaMa'akevis in my life? It's an important question. What is it that's keeping me from learning, from growing? What's the Siva HaMa'akevis? To try to understand. And to try to be honest with oneself. Because then you could deal with it. You could address the issue. Shibemes ein ma'akavtei achshav. And the thing that you're talking about and that you're worried about and you're trying, that's not what's holding this person back. That's not what's holding yourself back right now. Meaning, the true Siba that is right now ruling over this person, that's preventing him, that's keeping him from forming a deep attachment to Limana Torah and to a life of Torah, Tisha'er Be'eina, will remain intact. As per the boy for whom you've gotten rid of all the internets and girls. The problem hasn't been solved. It's very, very convenient and easy to point to one or two things and to say that this is always the cause of Bittul Torah. That's the easiest thing. It makes life very, very easy for the people who are in charge. Same thing when you have a family. It's very, very easy to point to one thing, to say this, to say that. V'yamayid ha'odom b'mevuchasai. And the person remains in his mevucha, meaning he remains in his dilemma. He remains, he's stuck in that dilemma because you haven't helped him with the problem. Again, coming back to the guy that's, the guy had an argument with his wife. He thinks his wife doesn't care for him. And you're coming and you're giving him chizik that the Mets are gonna somehow, maybe they'll break 500 this year or something. So that's not what's bothering him. So then afterwards you don't understand how come the guy's still depressed? I gave him the best report I could possibly give him about the Mets. And he's still depressed because you haven't addressed the problem. This goes on all the time in families, it goes on with friends, it goes on with teachers and with students, it goes on all the time. That good people, they want to help. You want to help someone. You love someone, you want to help. But you don't understand what is the Siba HaMa'akevus. What's the Siba HaMa'akevus? And therefore, Yaman HaAdam B'mubuchasai. The problem hasn't gone away. He's still not connecting. He still doesn't have a rutzen to learn. V'asibas halalu, now if Cook says, Hasibas halalu, when it comes to sibais, causes of bittul tahira, possible causes, again, each person and you have the community. There's a siba ha-makeves that could be with a particular community, or the kehila, or the shul, or the chevra, in a yeshiva. Sometimes you can have in a school that there's one person in that school, one principal, or assistant principal, or assistant to the assistant to the assistant principal. You have one person that's the siba ha-makeves. I've seen that. That there's a person that sets a certain negative tone, a nasty negative tone in an institution, you can have that at work also. And when that person goes, the whole place like lights up. It could be something like that. In other words, it's not just an individual. You have where the community, there's a Siba HaMa'akevus. As a people, as the Jewish people right now, we can talk about that in Yitzhak a lot after Pesach. There's a Siba that's Ma'akevus. What's the Siba HaMa'akevus that's holding us back from being, what I was talking about this morning, from being who we have to be? There was still Karim Mishtachvim to the Goyim, to the world, and that there's a Siba HaMa'akevus as a people, but not who we're supposed to be. There's a big, massive bittul tahira that's taking place in Klal Yisrael, not just from learning, but from being miskasha to the etzem of who we are. And our enemies know that. Our so-called friends feel that. And because of that, we're here where we are, as I said before, snoring for a couple of apartments. That's where we are. What's the Siba Ma'akevus? A shul has to ask itself that question. A yeshiva, a kehil, a family, parents, individuals. There could be many sibas. Each situation is different. There's something that's spiritual, emotional. There's an emotional ma'akev. If you're teaching in a class and you're trying to connect to the kids in the class, and let's say you have in that class somebody who comes from a home, or God forbid, there's all kinds of things that are going on where that child feels terribly lost and alone. So the Rebbe doesn't know that. So then he could misidentify the Siba HaMa'akevus. Why isn't this boy learning? This boy is not learning. It has nothing to do with your class, Rebbe. You're a terrific teacher. You're a good rabbi. And it has nothing to do with the Gemara. There's nothing wrong with the Gemara. What's the Siba HaMa'akevus? The Siba HaMa'akevus is something that you don't see. There's something that's going on in this child's life. And therefore, when he comes to class, he's not a clay kibble. Not because you're not saying a good shiur. Not because the Gemara is not interesting. There's the child. There's a Siba HaMa'akevus with this child. It could be an eruch. It could be emotional. Could be something spiritual. Especially when you're dealing with Bachran. A Bachran that, let's say, God forbid, is doing things that he shouldn't be doing. So then when he comes to the yeshiva, you see that he has a marshcher, that he's depressed, that he's not able to learn. It doesn't have to do with the quality necessarily of your shiur. It doesn't have to do with the quality of the Gemara. There's something that's broken in this boy. He's broken. He feels horrible about himself. He can't hear the Dvar Hashem. He's not tuning into Torah because he feels that he's not worthy of Torah, because he feels filthy and dirty. And therefore he's not a clay kibble for Torah. So what you think is the Siba Makeves is not the Siba Makeves. You might blame yourself. How come I'm not saying the Gemara right? Or I'm not making it interesting? Or you might blame other factors that are external factors, when the truth is that the Siva Makevis has to do with something that that boy was looking at the night before, or something that boy was doing, God forbid, whatever. And that's the Siva Makevis. There could be so many things, from the most complicated psychological, emotional, spiritual Sibais, causes of disconnection. And then there are the physical, plain pashut, physical causes for bittul Torah. There are sibais ma'akvais that could be simply physical, such as a person's not getting enough sleep, let's say, right? Not getting enough sleep. The stifle and other tzaddikims to scream about this. It's a tremendous ma'akiv. You have somebody that wants to learn, and he cares for Torah, but the quality of his learning is just not there, and it's not clicking, and it could have a lot to do with how much sleep he's getting and what he's eating. It could have a lot to do with that. There could be sibos ma'akvos that are plain, that are yeshem and gashmias. There could be issues of health. Someone's very tired all the time. He's not getting enough sleep, or you have to check to see that he shouldn't be, God forbid, something wrong, or anemic, whatever it is. There could be many reasons. Yesh man gashmias. Yesh shehin boz me chesron hachshara shel kodesh. Sometimes there's a person who is lacking a certain readiness for kodesh, for holiness. He hasn't been primed and prepared for dvarim shebekedusha. So he doesn't have a cheshek to learn. He doesn't have a cheshek to learn. Again, going back to the sad example of a situation where a person's life is very much caught up in things that are not holy. And he's very involved in things that are not holy. And because of that, there's something lacking in his hachshara right now. He's not clean. And because of that, there's something that's lacking in his hachshara to be makabal dvarim shekedusha. It could have to do with not being careful with what you eat. With eating things, it's parasha shemini. With eating things that are not 100% kosher. 100%. My father said that in Europe they used to say that if you open up a stomach of a Jew in America, you find a chazer inside. Even if he doesn't eat chazer. But inside every American Jew, they used to say in Europe, there's a little chazer, or there's a pig inside an American stomach. We know, Chazal tell us, v'nit meisim bam, it's in the parasha. V'nit meisim, that they defile a person, v'nit tamtam bam. It causes a certain timtum. Eating things that are not 100% edible, according to the Torah, ametamtem, they dull one's senses. They could cause a lack of cheshek when it comes to learning, when it comes to connecting to one's Torah. If you're eating things if you're careless with what you eat, if you're not makpid with certain things, whatever. All right, it's a lot easier now to, we hope that kosher, that's what it says on the labels, I'm not sure what it is, but let's say, but it could be a big ma'akev. It could be a huge ma'akev. A person's not careful with things. There's a ma'isa I told you once years ago, a merdeka ma'isa, that there was in Poznan, where the Rav in Poznan was Rabbi Kiva Eger. Pekid Eger. They was imposing one of the Dayonim on the Bezdin of Rabbi Kiv Eger. So he was talking about, must have been a Gadol Olam. He was a Dayan by Rabbi Kiv Eger. So this Dayan had very chashuv children. One of them was not in learning, was very, very weak. Very weak, unusually weak in learning. I'm not talking about being a Talmud Chacham, I'm talking about just having a understanding the Gemara. It was very weak. And the father tried this, the father tried that. And nothing was helping. And they hired another Rebbe and they tried. Nothing helped. So the father brought his son to Rabbi Kiva Eger. And he came to Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva looked at the boy and said, "You were nichshel machalas asuras. You ate something that's not kosher." So that's what the Rabbi Kiva Eger said, and there's a blockage. It's blocking. So the father went out with the boy, and his father said, "What was the rav saying? Did you had machalas asuras?" So he said, "Chas v'sholom." He said, "In those days you had a sheikh from the city and you ate." And he said, "I didn't eat anything." So was there anything that you ate that wasn't at home? Did you eat someplace? The father's trying to get to the bottom of it. Did you eat someplace? So the boy's thing, he says, yeah, I ate someplace. He says, whatever it was, like 2 years ago, whatever, 3 years ago, you remembered? He ate someplace. Where did you eat? So he said that we were a couple of boys and we were coming back on something from shul or cheder, whatever, and there was a simcha going on. And the one who was cooking over there, the cook, said, "Boys, I have some extra food. He had some good meat, some food. Come on, he's a nice guy." He says, "You want to have some left over? You want to eat something?" And that was the only time I didn't eat in the house. I ate by that chasna, whatever it was. By that chasna. So the father went back to the Kivega. He told him that this was the problem. They ate by this chasna. Now, listen to what happened over there. That chasna, that wedding, was a controversial wedding. What was controversial about it? There was a machlokes. The couple that was getting married had been there was a marriage before, and there was a divorce. There was a get. There was a machlokes between gedolim in Europe about whether or not the get was a kosher get. The Baal Tanya paskin that the get was possible. He passed and it was possible. Not only did he say it was possible, but he gave a warning. This is what they found out. And he warned, and he said, "I'm telling you that this get is possible, and if this person gets married, anybody who shechs by this chasna, it's all treif. Anybody who makes a chasna for this, after this get, it's all treif." That's what they found out. But that's where it came from. That the Tanya said that whoever makes a chasna and cooks, or makes a shchita for it, is going to be treif. So Rabbi Kiyarega picked that up, that the kid ate tarfis. So you hear this story, you're wondering, so like, wow, who's the hero of this, who's bigger, like Rabbi Kiyarega or the Baal Tanya? That the Baal Tanya said such a thing and it caused the food there to have such a hashpa. And then Rabbi Kiyarega picked up on that. Huh? And the boy was obviously a helig in the shaman, yeah. That it affected the boy. So that's what they found out about that wedding. And Rabbi Kiva Eger said, "Oh, das is. That's what it is. He ate machalas asuras. The Tanya said such a thing. So it's machalas asuras." So this couple, it could be the child of the one who the Tanya said, whatever, because of the time is some a couple years off. So like 20-30 years. So then he asked Rabbi Kiva Eger. So the father said, "So now what do we do? What are we going to do for him? Because he ate once." I'm not saying that he ate in a kosher burger joint and they found out that it was coming from Little Italy or something. It was It was glatt kosher 100%, but it was with the Tanya's zap. So they asked the Biki Vegas, now what? The father asked them, what are we going to do for him? So Biki Vegas said that the only way to get it out of his system is he has to learn Torah Mitarchat Chav. You have to send them away. They sent him to Eretz Yisrael to learn. In Eretz Yisrael, to be away from home and to go through some Yisurim to get that out of the system, to clean out the system. Can you imagine? And that was the Siba HaMa'akevis for this little boy being koilate, being able to absorb Divya Lekim Chayim. Right, he was something, a heiliger person, a heiliger child, very sensitive. But there are all kinds of things that could render a person unprepared for holiness. And a lot of it has to do with one's diet. A lot of it has to do with what a person eats. Each person with his own nesiyonos and these things. Now it's not as hard as it used to be. When you were younger, in the early years, there were much fewer things that had hachsherim. But those who are getting ready for their Passover extravaganzas in some hotel should think about and to wonder whether or not it's possible for thousands of hungry Pesach the Jews to be given such kosher with Pesach food, because there were three mashgichim in a chametz dikei treifa hotel that serves 10,000 goyim the whole year. It's a cheshbon. One should think about it before you put that first bite of before you put your first chremzel, matzah chremzel in your mouth. You should think about it. What are the chances of this being kosher l'Pesach? It's a thought. Might spoil your appetite and you pay so much money. Okay, but it's a thought whether there's a kosher l'Pesach as opposed to what mommy or bobby made. You might think about it for a minute. There'd be all kinds of me'akvim. That because of that, the person is, there's a chesaron of hachshara shel kodesh. That the person is right now, there's something missing in his sensitivity to holiness. And we have to try to get to the bottom of that. What is it? What happened? Nowadays, this is a very, very big inyan. That oftentimes does go back to the internet. Very often. Something happened. And the child saw something. And in conversation, something comes out. Everybody's different. And of course, that's an interesting thing, the end of this sif. He says, sometimes it comes from a chesaron of being prepared, not in holiness, but in chol. Chol means that which is not holy. So what does that mean? It could be that a person's way of thinking is not clear. I mean, it's not a religious matter. It could be not a religious matter at all. Could be that he's simply he's thinking in a way that is muddled and unclear and illogical, and it can be helped. So it doesn't have to be something in holiness. It could even be something as simple as there's a certain chisaron hachshara shalchol. I'll give you another example. Could a person who just has horrible study habits. It could be a simple thing like that. He always studies. I'm not talking about Torah. It could be his math and history and biology, whatever it is. He always studies it like, lying in bed with some nash. So that's not a way to concentrate. That's not a way. I mean, this person will always say this. Oh, I do my best studying that way. He always tells his parents, that's my best way of studying. He's not mukhsha. He's not a mukhshir for even Dvaram Shel Chol. He has certain problems with how he reads, with how he studies, with how he thinks. And that carries over into his Torah. It could be something simple like that. That Bechlal, when it comes to thinking, he doesn't think clearly. It could be a simple matter like that, that he needs certain help. In our times, it used to be that when there was a boy that wasn't doing well in the yeshiva, so the Rebbe would just say, you're an idiot. You're a shaita. Right? What's the matter with you? You're not Maritz. That's how he officially diagnosed the boy. Right? There were many diagnoses like that being thrown around the class in those years. So now they have already other things. So then he goes for an evaluation. And the evaluation says that he's got different Rosh HaTevis and different things, and ADs and DDs and different things. And he has this problem, he has that, he has a learning thing, he has this, and Chalila, the dyslexic. Which in those days, I'm not talking about a long time ago, there was nothing. It's just the regular would say, you're an idiot. So now, they don't say such things, God forbid. So they say that there's a problem, and we have to address the problem. And there are many things that could be done. They have resource rooms, they're doing things which can help. So that's part of the Hashgacha practice of our generation, that there are ma'akvim in the way that a person thinks that he doesn't dafka mean that he's a shaita, it doesn't mean he's an idiot. He could be very, very smart. And he could turn out to be a great Talmud Chacham. But there's a certain siva ma'akevas in his head that has nothing to do with religion, has nothing to do with holiness, and has to do with something that's not clicking in how he thinks, how he looks at things. That's not clicking. That perhaps there can be help. Nowadays, more and more, there are things that are being done to help with all kinds of ikuvim, with how a person thinks, special education and so on. Of course, many times these things are exaggerated, and many, many times these things are exaggerated and taken too far, but not a maven in this stuff. But it certainly is a very big help for many people. Base. Rav Kook here speaks about a second type of Bittul Torah. The Bittul Torah that we're most familiar with, is Bittul Torah that's called Bittul Torah Kamutit, Kamusis, which means that a person doesn't put in enough time in his learning. Quantitative. The quantity of learning is schwach, is weak. Doesn't learn enough. Doesn't spend enough hours in yeshiva, doesn't spend enough hours with the sefer, doesn't learn on Shabbos, doesn't learn ben hazmanim. Okay. There's, when it comes to the kamus, to the amount of learning, obviously the person doesn't put in enough time, it doesn't learn much. That again is the easiest type of Bittul Torah to identify. It's not so hard. The guy comes to yeshiva once every 3 days, so there's a problem. It's not so hard to figure out. Or he sits there during Chavrus, he comes an hour late, and when he's during Chavrus, he's sleeping. So then, okay. So, how's he supposed to know the learning? How's he supposed to go? That's pretty easy. Then you have a second type of Bittul Torah that Rav Kook talks about here. He's not the first one to talk about this. But as always, he has his own unique way of addressing this. This Bittul Torah that's called Bittul Torah that's Echusis. Not quantity, quality. Could be he puts in a lot of time. And he comes on time to yeshiva. And sits with the sefer and is learning. Puts in a long day. But there's a qualitative Bittul Torah. The quality is a quality of Bittul Torah. Which means he's not taking himself to the limits of his understanding. He could do a lot better. Not with his time. He puts in a lot of time. He could be challenged more, right? He could do better. So if Hook says, Bittul Torah Nechshel L'chol Adam Kefi Madrigasa. What's considered to be Bittul Torah as far as the Echus, the quality of learning, that's each person according to his Madrega. Each person according to his level. For one person to learn the Pshat in the Gemara is a tremendous accomplishment. To understand just the simple Pshat in the Gemara is a tremendous accomplishment. And he worked very, very hard for that. For another person who's very, very sharp, then and all he did was the Pshat in the Gemara, it's disappointing. He could have done better. He had more kaiches. He could have done better. A person whose mind is capable of lifting him to a higher madrega, to a higher place. And he's lazy. Or he's afraid of what that will mean. Like you have people that they don't want to get a better job. even though they could make a much better living and have much better, make it much easier on their families. But they're afraid. They're afraid something new and it's going to be a challenge. They like their job they have. It's simple, it's easy, you know, whatever. I'm here for, I'm at this job for 25 years. I know that. Let's push it. And there's something that comes up, a possibility of a new job, but that new job would mean much more of an intellectual challenge. So he doesn't want. Could be an inion of laziness. He doesn't want to have to work so hard. This comes easy. He's already used to this. Or could be that he's afraid. So they're two are connected, obviously. People that are very, very lazy are usually very afraid. They're very afraid of whatever's out there that will challenge them to do more and become more. So they retreat into this lazy position in life. And they can enclose that with all kinds of diburim to say, no, I'd have to. I have very humble expectations of life, you know. But that's not necessarily true. It's often not true. They have humble expectations of themselves, which can become laziness. At the same time, the family has greater needs. And the person says, I like to be pushed, I like to be pushed. Could be he's just afraid, he likes to be pushed. You see that many things in his life he's not so pushed. He could sit with a hamburger and he could be not so pushed. You know, he goes, he's not so pushed. You say, you're so posh, I just thought I'd give you a piece of toast today for supper. Let his wife try that. No hamburgers, just a piece of toast and some tea. He said, you're very posh. I read a story, the Chofetz Chaim is posh, he just had some toast and tea. So you're also posh, so I want to give you the same stuff, but Chofetz Chaim, I knew you would like that. He says, no, I'm posh when it comes to getting a different job. I'm not posh when it comes to supper. He's afraid. He's afraid of the challenges that are out there, of confronting what's out there and being able and having to compete and so on. This is very common. And because of that fear, the quality of his life is at a low ebb. It stays at a very, very low or mediocre ebb. You could do a lot better. I had this conversation with somebody yesterday, very, very talented Talmud Chacham, really talented. And he's been in a certain shtela, not in New York, it's out of town, in a certain position in Rabbanus. He's been there for years. And there's an opportunity to start something new, a different part of town. And he could really make a big difference. He can make a huge difference. Where he is now is sort of stagnant. It's stuck in a certain place. And nothing new is really happening there and nothing. And there's this possibility of something different. And he's a very, very chosh of a person. And there's a certain ikuvim that he was talking to me about, that he's worried about maybe the people where he is now are going to be hurt, to be insulted. And the other ikuvim, you know, which, of course, I said, you left out the biggest ikuv of all. What? Yeah, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to really start again. And to, you know, new kaich is fresh. And to, scary, it's scary. New people, different things. Higher level of teaching, higher level of learning. Okay. All the other ma'akvim are secondary. You have to cheshbon everything, but secondary. The ikir is, what's the sibah ha'makevis inside of you that's preventing a person like yourself that has such talent from using those talents, from using those kaiches that you have? We're all guilty of that to one degree or another. Each person in his own way, everybody's guilty of that. So we don't even bother to try to understand our kaiches and our kishreinus. It comes, and we sometimes cloak these things in humility. No, it's not. I can't. No, it's not for me. I can't. I can't do that. A person who has the ability to rise to a higher madrega, and he's lazy or frightened of what that would mean, of the challenge of something bigger and more choshev. Moes b'malosai ha'elyona, and he's moes, he rejects. Moes doesn't mean disgust, he rejects. He rejects that higher mila, that higher part of himself. And he accepts the lower end of his existence. The lower end. He stays. He stays in that same way of learning the Gemara. He stays in that same way of work. He stays in that same way of midas, you know, in his house with his family. He stays, same father, same husband, same wife, same mother. He stays. It's not just with learning. It's the echos of a person. The quality of a person. He allows himself to remain lamata at a lower level. Lamata doesn't mean the bottom of the barrel. It could be very nice, very chosher, but lamata, lower than where he should be. Lower than where he should be in the quality of his life. In ruchnis and gashmis. Again, you have sometimes a person of Bemis doesn't care about this world. That's something else. I'm not talking about a person of Bemis doesn't care about the world. About the physical world. That's something else. A person doesn't care about it. He says that he doesn't want it, doesn't care. That's something else. But a lot of people do like the world, and they would like to have certain things, and they would like to go visit certain places and so on. And the reason that they don't is because they say that I'm very patient. I'm very, very patient. And he allows himself to remain lamata, below. He sticks to the C minor of life, according to his abilities. For somebody else, that could be a big madrega, but for this person, it's not. Again, for someone else, so he could look at himself and say, "Well, you know, I'm doing better than most people, and so on." Again, not talking about making money. But more important things. But that's not the point that you're doing better than the next door neighbor. The child is you. And such a person, Hare Humayes es Teres Hashem Haru'uyalai. He's not rejecting Torah, he learns, he goes to a Shia. He learns. He puts in even some time. That's not the point. But he's Mayas es Teres Hashem Haru'uyalai. He's rejecting the Torah of Hashem that befits him. Haru'uyalai. That is waiting for him is chelik in what he's supposed to do in this world. It's chelik in Torah. It's chelik in Avodas Hashem. It's his chelik. And this is a very, very great tragedy. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy. And regarding such a thing, Chazal tell us, Shalzen Nemar, Shevita Kadosh Baruch Hu al Avodah Zarah Gilareis Shvichas Damav Levita al Ma'aseh Shel Torah. That Hashem, the word Levater means concedes, or it's hard to translate exactly in this context, because of course you're not allowed to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Vatran. Hashem cares about everything, but Hashem will, on some level, overlook issues even of Avodah Zarah and Gilareis and Shvichas Damav, most serious three aveiros of idol worship and immorality and God forbid, even shvichas dama, murder. V'leim vita al ma'asa shel Torah, but he's not mevatir, he doesn't overlook one's rejection of Torah. Now, what Rav Kook is bringing this, the Rav Kook brings this, and we've learned this over the years, that his closing statement is always the clincher, right? Rav Kook doesn't just end. When he ends something, he's putting the neshama in at the ending. So he brings this chazal is from the Medrash in Eicha, which the actual lashon there in the Medrash is Halavai Oisia Zovu V'Terasi Shamaru. So many of you have heard this. The Medrash says Hashem says Halavai Oisia Zovu. If only they would leave me. But at least what? The Tairasi Shamaru. It's a shocking thing. So Hashem says, okay, Halavai oisi azov. Halavai, their problems with me. The terosi, terosi shamar. So Chazal say, shemitoch shahoyim es askin ba, b'mo'or shaba, ha-mo'or shaba machzir l'motav. Because if they would throw themselves into learning, the light of Torah would bring them back to me. Would bring them back to me. It would have a happy ending. So halavai, even if for now, whatever, there's problems with it, doesn't mean shvichas don't get a rise of it, they should worship all of them. But it's saying that, Rav Kook is saying here, by bringing this chazal, that this levita al ma'asa shel Torah, ma'asa shel Torah means that when a person does not demand of himself, does not expect of himself, that which he's capable of doing and being, ultimately, that mi'isa shel Torah, that rejection of his level of Torah, opens him up for anything that could possibly be in the world, for the worst things that could be in the world. And he'll never ever come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such a person. He'll never ever, halavai, oisi azovet terosi shamaru. Torah shmisaskim, they would be misasik in Torah, hamar shabah hamachzil amutav. So even though in the meantime they're temporarily out of order with their mitzvahs and aveiros, there's a problem. But the light of Torah is so powerful, meaning that if a person pushes himself, never to be mois in that level of Torah that he's capable of learning, and not to be mois in the level of ruchnius that he's capable of reaching, so then he'll eventually be able to resolve those religious issues in his life that have thus far been unresolved. He'll be able to take care of them because of the light of Torah. Meaning when a person comes to the Panimius of who he is, like we learned this morning in Rosh Hashanah, when a person is in that place of who he be'emes is, be'etzim, so of course he's not, in that place of who he is, there's not going to be any of what is regular Rosh Hashanah Islam, in that place of who he is. But since he's not in that place of who he's not there, he's not who he's supposed to be, because why? He's not pushing himself to the limits of himself, so he's not himself. If he's not himself, then he'll do many things that are uncharacteristic of himself. Even of a desire, Gilad Ashish is done. It's not himself. He's not himself. Even though him not being himself is still higher than the next guy being himself, that's not the point. The point is that in his life there's an empty space. And the empty space can be filled with anything. God forbid. He's not full. And when there's the empty space inside that's not full, there's only half full, then what goes into the empty space? There's no telling what's going to go into that empty space. If you don't fill up, it can be filled with all kinds of other things, that empty space of a person's life. So even though this guy being on half is still better than the other guy being full, that's not the point. The point is each person filling himself. Each person filling himself. When the person is filled, so then, mimela, he's far removed from all these areas. That's what I was talking about before. That's not the internet. There's a siva ma'akevis that's preventing this person from filling. And we have to find that, and to fill himself. And when he fills himself, then those issues and that issues, like we were talking about this morning, then the other things become silly. How come I, this aveir, and how come this, I can't do this mitzvah, and what's the matter with me? I'm always falling into this aveir. Because he's not full. He's not full. And when there's that emptiness, so the emptiness is fertile grounds for all kinds of germs and bacteria and tumah. It comes into that empty place. Wherever there's an empty place, there's tumah. Wherever there's an opening, it finds an opening. When the person fills himself to the limit, he does his best to fill himself to the limit of who he is. And by the way, that's what Divrei Torah, and even on some level with Dvarim Shel Chol, a person is working hard and busy. The most dangerous thing is when someone's not occupied. I'm not, Torah, of course, but even in Dvarim Shel Chol. People now have more hands on their time. It's long. People have more hands, more time. Because I was looking at my hand and I was looking at the time, so I had more hands on their time. People have more time on their hands now than they ever had before. So that's a good thing, but it could be very, very dangerous. It could be very, very dangerous. People have so much time for various. They the tzaddikim said, Rav Chaim Brisker, the other tzaddikim said that when it comes to biblical Torah, when it comes to Aveir, he says the Rabbi from Alexander, the Rabbi from Kotsk, a lot of tzaddikim said that in Kotsk they used to say that who has time to do Aveirus? I'm too busy to do Aveirus. Who has time for Aveirus? The answer is, the Kotsk was never 2011 in the five towns. Who has time for Aveirus? I do. Anything, we're going anywhere tonight? What's doing, right? Who has time for Aveirus? But a person whose life is empty, or half, there's lots of time. There's lots of time. And the teva of things is that the bugs get into that place. The cockroaches get into that empty place. So even in Zerm Shalchal, and we'll continue to talk about this Indian of Vital Terror and Aphis next time Shabbos Mishnah.